Proceed with the next item, which is item 2 on the agenda, Melton Road, Barrow-upon-Soar. Can I ask the case officer to present for us, please?
I've not spoken about this particular application.
Okay. You've realised in time, Councillor Harris.
Yes.
And could we add that to the declarations?
Thank you.
Can we move to the case officer to make the presentation, please?
Thank you, Chair. This application is an application at 4 Melton Road, Barrow-upon-Soar. It's for a loft conversion involving various loft roof alterations, including the raising of the roof and two front dormers and a rear dormer. Also includes the erection or a replacement of the garage to the side of the property and also alterations to the single-storey element to the rear. The application property is a two-storey detached property situated on a one-way street. There is a correction that I'd like to draw your attention to in the extras report. On page B1 of the report, it refers to the neighbouring properties on Melton Road. That's a mistake in the report, and they're all on South Street, just so for clarification. The report later, when it assesses those properties, does say South Street, and it doesn't change the assessment. So here's an aerial photograph. The property itself is just here. Okay, and these are properties 11 to 15 South Street and 17 South Street. The application has been called to Plans Committee by the ward councillors, and it's been called to Plans Committee for a number of reasons, including its impact on the conservation area, the fact that the village plan and the village design statement should have been considered at a greater extent by the applicants, the impact on the neighbouring properties and also parking. So just to take you through the slides for those that weren't on the site visit today, this is the front of the application property. It fronts onto Melton Road. Melton Road is a one-way street, so in terms of these elevations, you can only walk in that direction towards property. The flow of traffic is in the opposite direction, if that makes sense. So you drive pass it towards where I'm taking the photograph was taken. In terms of the proposal, we'll see the proposal in a minute, but this chimney is rebuilt as part of the proposals, but the chimneys on the rear are lost, and you have dormers, two dormers at the front of the proposal, which are traditional, but the more contemporary dormer extension is to the rear. The garage is accessed on the far side of the property in this bottom photo and is set back, and on the opposite side, so the near side, is the access to number 17 South Street. So just some photographs from the rear. These are numbers 11 and 13 South Street. This is the existing garage that is to be removed and replaced, and this is the existing boundary wall, which is obviously at a high level to the house. The garden is also at a high level. This is number 15 South Street, the end of the terraces, and is the rear amenity area is the most likely to be affected in terms of that row of terraces by the proposal. As you can see from the photo, property is also set at a lower level than the garden area, but remember the house was at a lower area as that as well, the host house. And then this is the property to the rear, immediately to the rear, number 17 South Street. This outbuilding, it's not clear on the overhead, I think it's because the lights are so bright in here. There's a single-storey summer house garden room that belongs to the host property, and then the neighbouring property is beyond that with their parking area in between. So just to go through the proposals, this is the existing block plan for you, and this is the proposed block plan. You can see the increase in the size of the garage. The current garage doesn't meet highway the standards set out in the standing advice, whereas the new garage would allow for a car to be parked in that garage. So these are the existing elevations. The south elevation of the actual property remains unchanged. Obviously, there is the garage to go in. And the front elevation will have the two windows, which we can see from these elevations. So you've got the two dormers that are more traditional in their style and the garage with a sedum roof. You'll see that the roof of the single-storey element has been removed and replaced with a sedum roof. And then you have this more contemporary element that's added to the rear of the property with the two chimneys removed. There's also an increase in the height of the property. Just there. This just to help you understand the internal layout. So in terms of the ground floor, not much has changed. The roof void has been taken away and there's now a roof light. Oh, sorry. So the ground floor's not changed, apart from the garage. At first floor, there's now a roof light instead of the roof void and the extra staircase element. And then you've got the new accommodation at second floor. The local planning authority has received objections from the parish councillors and ward councillors and also the Barrow Heritage Group, along with 24 letters of objections from third parties, including neighbouring properties. We've also received one letter of support. They're all summarised in your report that you have in front of you. The relevant policies and material considerations are also set out in the report on pages B2 to B3. So, just move on to the issues. Impact on the character and appearance of the street scene. The garage will be obscured from the street by number 4 Melton Road and the neighbouring properties due to its setback. It's setback some 5.84 metres from the street and is a similar scale to the existing garage. However, it does include a flat sedum roof. It will replace the existing garage with a usable parking space, which isn't available at the moment, and overall it's considered that the proposed garage would not have a detrimental impact on the street scene. The front dormer extensions onto Melton Road will be visible from within the street and the conservation area. However, similar features can be found elsewhere on Melton Road. It's considered that the front dormers are of a traditional appearance, and it's noted that they will be made using matching materials to the host property and are relatively small. It's therefore considered that they're suitable additions in terms of the street scene. The rear dormer extension is more contemporary in its appearance, features a flat roof and uses zinc material with large swathes of glass. It's located to the rear, this limiting its visual impact from the public highway. It's also set in from the edges of the property. It's acknowledged that the rear dormer will be visible from Melton Road when travelling against the direction of traffic as a pedestrian. However, it's considered that the transition from render to zinc materials above the eaves height and having similar proportions to a normal roof line, and given the assimilation in colour of zinc to the existing roof tiles, it would remain compatible with the existing property. Design is a subjective issue, and good design, albeit different, is supported by policy. Therefore, the rear dormer, although contemporary, is considered to be high-quality design and respects the existing building and street scene and is therefore acceptable. From the street, you'll also notice the raising of the roof, which is 0.7 metres. However, the roof follows the same design and in terms of the side gable features, and other examples are present within the vicinity of similar steep pitches. It's therefore considered that this is also acceptable and the proposal complies with policies set out in the report. Concerns about the village design statement have been raised by objectors. However, having regard for that, we still think that the character and appearance is acceptable for the reasons set out in the report, and it complies with both policy and guidance documents. In terms of the impact on amenity of neighbours, 11 to 13 South Street, most of the proposal in the roof will be screened from these properties by the existing outrigger of the property. They will be close to the proposed garage. However, given the existing garage there and the boundary treatment, it's not considered that that would have a detrimental impact on the amenities of those properties. They would also have some degree of impact from the increase in the ridge height. However, again, this is not considered to be overbearing given the scale. The impact on 15 South Street is considered in the report, and that property is located 14 metres from the nearest potential visible works proposed here. The potential for overlooking of the rear amenity space has been carefully considered, but given the land levels and the fact that it's not directly to the rear, it's slightly off, it's considered that the impact on that property is acceptable and the proposal would comply with our supplementary planning guidance. In terms of the property right to the rear of that property, the application property, so number 17 South Street, that's some 28 metres at the very closest point between the properties, and that meets our recommended space between building standards. And given the design of the proposal and the position of the windows, it's also considered that there would be no significant impact on that property's amenity. In terms of parking, it is noted that there is only two parking spaces provided as part of the scheme. However, there is only one parking space provided at the moment. So the increase in the garage space would actually be a highway benefit because the proposal would actually provide two usable parking spaces. Therefore, there's no severe impact on highway safety. Finally, that the impact on the heritage assets needs to be considered. The building is located in a prominent position within the Barrow Conservation Area. However, the building itself is not significant in heritage terms. It's a late 19th century house with simple decorative architectural features on the front facade. Other elevations do not have any distinctive architectural detail. It's therefore the front facade and overall form of the building that have a heritage significance and can contribute to the conservation area. Introduction of a contemporary extension to create the additional floor would sit within the rear, on the rear elevation within the rear wing of the building. Cohesive modern architectural elements that stitch into the existing building fabric to create a considerable visual interest as part of the building is considered acceptable by our conservation officer, and it's considered that it would add to the interest of this part. The use of green cedar roofs is also considered acceptable and beneficial. Accordingly, it's considered that there's no harm to the character of the heritage assets and it complies with our policies, and for that reason it's recommended that planning permission be granted for the reasons set out in the report and in accordance with the conditions set out in the report.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. We have three speakers, and I'd like to call the first speaker, Mr. Wilcox, please. Begin when you're ready, Mr. Wilcox. I'll remind you when there's a minute left.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman and Councillors, and thank you for this opportunity to address you. A significant number of people listed in your report are opposed to this proposal in the conservation area, including our two ward councillors, Barrow Parish Council, Barrow Heritage Group, and more than 20 authors of letters of objection. Your officer's report states that, on balance, the proposal is considered to comply with policy. On balance is an important phrase in any development management report because it indicates that members may reasonably decide to strike the planning balance in a different way to officers. In this case, we would invite you to conclude that this proposal should be refused for the reasons which are actually summarised in your report. As you will be aware, your adopted planning policy regarding house extensions requires that they meet three criteria. Firstly, they should remain compatible in scale, mass, design and use of materials with the original dwelling. Two, they should not appear as an intrusive or incongruous feature in the street scene to the detriment of visual amenities. And three, they should not prove detrimental to the amenities of occupiers of nearby properties by reason of overshadowing, dominance or substantial loss of privacy or light. These criteria are especially important in conservation areas. This application fails to meet any of your criteria. Similarly, the Barrow Local Neighbourhood Plan places emphasis on preservation of the character of buildings, especially within the conservation area. The results of the 2015 survey of Barrow residents on this plan shows the great importance of the conservation area to residents. There are three main reasons why this proposal is strongly and widely opposed. First is its public impact on the conservation area. All residents have a legitimate expectation that the character of a conservation area should be preserved or enhanced. Clearly, this proposal does not preserve the existing character of the conservation area by virtue of its unusual built form and the proposed destruction of two Victorian chimney stacks. Approving the design would risk the creation of a precedent which would erode the power of the borough to protect conservation areas. Whether or not the proposal enhances the character of the conservation area is a crucial matter for your judgment. Your report says that the extension will be prominent from Melton Road and it has not been designed to be harmonious. We agree. The street scene would be adversely affected, a box-like structure totally inappropriate in this conservation area. Your report says that the structure remains at a two-storey scale, but from the side and rear, the proposal emphatically replaces a two-storey scale with a three-storey building, having a box-shaped structure with a flat roof. This will not be seen in isolation and should not be assessed in isolation. A change of such magnitude to one of the buildings in the conservation area will affect the integrity of the whole area, including negative impact on many pedestrians who enjoy walking along Melton Road, as evidenced by letters of objection. I therefore invite you to conclude that this will not preserve or enhance the conservation area. This in itself is sufficient reason to refuse the application. Second is the fact that while the parking policy for a five-bedroom house is for three car spaces, your report appears to countenance a relaxation of this requirement. Why? We say policy should be enforced, not relaxed. Again, it risks creating a precedent. This is in a situation close to a busy junction where there is no local on-street parking on a narrow one-way street. The policy is therefore a reason, and it is not defined by access to public transport. Third is the impact on neighbours, who have also a reasonable expectation that the character of the conservation...
1 minute left, Mr. Wilcox.
Thank you. The character of the conservation area seen from their windows will be preserved or enhanced. However, this proposal would transform a modest two-storey Victorian house built of local traditional materials into a three-storey building capped with zinc sheets and a flat roof. The huge window proposed on the rear elevation is much larger than any traditional windows in the conservation area. This large high window would create a potent new and unacceptable dominance and overlooking, especially into the garden of number 17 South Street, which has enjoyed peace and seclusion for over 130 years. The privacy of the garden will be completely invaded. In summary, this proposal substantially conflicts with national statute on developments in conservation areas, it conflicts with your own policy on extensions in conservation areas, and it conflicts with the Barrow-upon-Soar neighbourhood plan on extensions in conservation areas. For these reasons, I invite you to conclude that the application should be refused.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Could I ask the second speaker to come to the table, please? Mr. Rowland. When you're ready, Mr. Rowland, I'll remind you with a minute left.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm Philip Rowland of Landmark Planning. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on behalf of the applicant. The application that's before you is a resubmission following an earlier application that was withdrawn due to concerns about the design being raised by your officers. The applicant appointed a new architect, looked at an alternative approach, and the new proposal is a result of extensive discussions with your officers, including your conservation and design officer, in order to reach an acceptable design solution to this sensitive site. This demonstrates how keen the applicant has been to ensure that the scheme that is now before you addresses the design concerns previously raised by your officers, and in doing so, has resulted in the application being supported by your officers with a favourable recommendation. So what are the material planning considerations? First is the impact on the character appearance of the conservation area. The planning law requires applications in conservation areas to have special regard to the desirability of preserving or enhancing the character and appearance of the conservation area. Number 4 Melton Road is a two-storey detached dwelling, prominently located in the street and conservation area. There are three elements to the proposed development: the raising of the height of the roof by 0.7 metres and the insertion of two traditionally designed dormer windows. The second is a modern contemporary extension to the rear elevation, and the third is erection of a new garage. First, the dormer windows. The architect here has adopted a traditional approach to this prominent front elevation, and has opted to go with two traditionally designed dormer windows, which are perfectly acceptable within the conservation area, and there are obviously many examples of similar proposals. The raising of the height of the roof by 0.7 metres is considered to be insignificant, and therefore this element, the dormer windows and the raising of the roof, are considered to be acceptable in terms of your adopted policies. So we turn to the contemporary rear extension. The architect has opted to go for a contemporary design that incorporates a flat roof design and glazing and the use of a modern material above the use line. The point that I would like to emphasise is that it's not wrong to adopt a contemporary approach to design in a conservation area, but what is important is it represents good design with a careful choice of materials. Your conservation officer is employed to offer advice on development in conservation areas, is of the opinion that the proposed development represents a cohesive modern design that successfully links with the traditional elements of the existing dwelling's built fabric, and in doing so creates considerable visual interest. This is complemented by the careful choice of materials and architectural detailing that have been chosen to contrast but to complement the existing traditional materials. Your conservation officer concludes that whilst the modern extension will be visible, it will in fact add to the eclectic mix of architectural styles which help to add to the character of the conservation area, and in doing so would not result in harm to the conservation area, and it is in accordance with the policies in the development plan. We turn to the proposed garage. That's a replacement of an existing building. It's actually offers some visual improvement, so there are no real objections to that part of the scheme. So the second material planning consideration is one of residential amenity. The proposed garage is replacing a structure of similar size and therefore would not result in any detriment to the amenities of neighbouring properties. I've already said the raising of the main roof of the dwelling is of little significance. The dwelling still remains two-storey, not three-storey as the previous speaker tried to suggest. It still remains two-storey and the dormers are placed within the roof space, so at the most it's now 2.5 storeys. And it's perfectly acceptable. So we turn to the officer report. And it goes into details in terms of the impact of the proposals on residential amenity, and gives you an awful lot of guidance and advice, and concludes by saying that it complies with your adopted policies and
therefore
will not lead to a loss of privacy. To conclude, your officers are advising that proposed development has been assessed against the policies in the development plan in terms of residential amenity and impact on the character and appearance of the conservation area. Your officers conclude the development proposal complies with the relevant policies contained in the development plan, and there are no other material planning considerations as to why this development should not be granted planning permission. I therefore urge you to follow your officer's recommendation and to grant planning permission for the proposed development. I'd just like to add that conservation is not preservation. There's no reason why a modern contemporary design of good design should not be acceptable within a conservation area. This proposal is good design. It's clearly not a three-storey building. And the point about the car parking at the moment, there's only one car parking space available at the site. This proposal actually doubles that by making it now two car parking spaces. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rowland. Could I ask the ward councillor, Councillor Fryer, to come forward, please? You're ready, Councillor Fryer. I'll remind you when there's a minute left.
Thank you. Now, this is a joint statement with my fellow ward councillor, Councillor Ransom, who is already here tonight as well with me. So we have put this together. Councillor Ransom and I were asked to call in this application for the committee to make the decision by the parish council and other residents who have concerns about the application, and also the heritage group, as you have already said. I would like to state at this point that as Councillor Ransom and I are always completely neutral in matters like this, we are here to represent the people that have asked us to call it in, but we leave the decisions to the committee. These relate to the scales, the concerns relate to the scale of proposal, of the proposal, loss of light, privacy upon other properties, parking among others, all of which have been highlighted in the report in detail on the website and by previous speaker. We just highlight a couple of points. The impact on character and appearance, page B5. There will be an impact on the street scene, has been seen on the site visit this afternoon. The road is extremely narrow and the other properties are close by. It is not really correct to state that other properties in Melton Road have similar features as to the dormer windows. They mention in the report Chestnut Place. Chestnut Place is probably built in the widest part of any street in the centre of Barrow and is a block of flats. So I don't think we can take that as a like for like. Very near for those that were on the bus, where the bus parked up today so that you could get back on it. The impact on the highway, page B8. As stated in the report, normally a 5-bedroom dwelling would require 3 parking places, but it could be waived in this case with a condition imposed requiring that parking to be provided by the new garage be maintained. How would this be monitored? Would it in the future be adhered to? As was seen on the site visit today, parking is at a premium in this part of the village. Melton Road is a bus route every 30 minutes and is a main access route to the other end of the village, other areas outside the village, i.e. the Wolds and the A46. There is a large primary school on Melton Road, 450 plus pupils. This is one of the main access routes. This road is also used by pupils going to the secondary school, Humphrey Perkins, 900 plus pupils. With the new developments being undertaken at the moment, 300 plus houses, this road will even get even busier. The access to Melton Road is very tight and cannot be mitigated. Large vehicles such as buses, etc., do have difficulty and often have to mount the pavement. Should the committee be minded to approve this application, we would respectively request that conditions be placed regarding the working and delivery hours, similar to that put on other developments in the area, in the village. We suggest deliveries only between 9 and 3 p.m. avoiding the busiest times in the village. No building work before 8 a.m. and to finish by 5 p.m. Mondays to Fridays, and by 1 p.m. on Saturdays, and no working on Sundays. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Fryer. Members, it's open to you. I have one speaker request, Councillor Bentley.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Looking at this, I think the front elevation is really isn't that much in the way of change apart from adding the roof lights in. Ostensibly, the house is going to look the same from the roadside. I appreciate that maybe it should have had three parking spaces rather than two, but if county is happy with the provisions for car parking. I think on balance, I mean, it's only going to go up by, I think we were told earlier 600 millimetres, although the speaker tonight said 700 millimetres. But either which way, that's 2 feet or just over 2 feet taller. I really don't have any problem with it whatsoever, so I'd like to move officer recommendation.
You don't wish to say anything else?
I do, yeah. I mean, people don't like change. And I think it's going to be a real modern building. It's bringing modern in with the old agriculture. I think it's really nice. I think it's quite exciting. And that's why I'm quite happy to second Councillor Bentley's proposal.
Thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Campbell.
Yeah, could I just ask a conservation area? What does it mean then? I thought it meant to conserve what's there.
Ms. Jackson, can you answer?
Yeah, it's to conserve the historic merits of what's there. It doesn't mean that you have to copy it for you to be able to conserve it. We touched on this in the past on design training. It comes down to the quality of the design of what's being proposed and how that fits in. And it could be that some modern design that contrasts well with the traditional design, so you can read the history of the building, is just as acceptable as something that, you know, copies. But you don't have to copy to conserve. And in the report, under the conservation area bit, the conservation officer, Mark Fennell, went into great detail to explain why he felt this design was acceptable in terms of the conservation area.
Thank you. Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. People don't like change, but this house has been changed over the years, I should imagine. I should imagine it was originally built by brick and rendered, I'm only guessing this, and rendered to hide the alterations that have already happened at the back, at the rear of this property. Change happens. The house that we went up to and had a look, we enjoyed looking at the features on there and seeing that windows had been removed and put in. Again, changes happen. And I can understand the garage being extended to allow two off-street parking spaces, so that's a win-win. I can't see why the pitch roof is being removed, but then again, I'm not privy to the internal layout. I'm pleased with the sedum roof and pleased that architects are designing these sort of things in. Like Councillor Lowe, I like the contemporary design. It complements the age of the existing building. I dislike very much trying to copy, because we haven't necessarily got the skills or the time or the materials to copy it authentically. So I think to sensitively extend something, it has to be of a contemporary feel. As to the impact on the neighbours, effects on the character and appearance of a conservation area. I can't see any negative impacts at all. Effect on the character and appearance of the street scene. Well, we've got two dormer windows, which are matching the windows that are already there. Scale of the proposal, well, that's not even worth thinking about in my mind. Loss of light, ditto. Designs and material, I think are most appropriate for this. Privacy upon neighbours' properties. There'll be nothing more than there is now, a lack of privacy, I can't see. And the parking, as we've already said, is a win-win. So I support this application.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Councillor Snart.
Chairman, thank you. I support it. And the one thing that did come up from one of the speakers is around the construction times. And being as it is in an area where it is quite tightly grouped and there's quite a lot of people around, I think that would be something in the conditions that we could add in terms of construction times. And I leave it to officers, but I generally think it's from 7, 8 till 5 in the evenings on normal working days and no working on Sundays. I think that's important to put on there because it is quite close to a lot of residential properties.
Can I just ask officers if those conditions can be added, if members require?
Yes, I mean, in terms of conditions, you have to remember the test. So you have to say, if without that condition, would it be unacceptable? And noise, nuisance and things are covered under environmental health legislation. So if there was issues, you know, there are recourse in that direction. However, if members were minded that without that condition it would be a refusal, so it is necessary, then it could be something that you could impose. But I'd just, you know, like to err on the side of caution and remind you of the test that conditions should meet.
Chairman, I think the only reason for doing it is quite heavily populated around that area, and I do believe that it's something that that we could actually propose.
Okay, thank you. With nobody else to speak, I have a proposal from Councillor Bentley and a second from Councillor Lowe. I would ask Councillor Bentley if he wishes to include any amendments.
Yes, I think the only amendment is that the officers should think about imposing restrictions on building work times.
Is the seconder content with that? Right, I have a proposal with amendments, and seconded. Jackie, yes.
In the wording of how Councillor Bentley put that, are you content with us to seek advice for environmental health on the specific times rather than set them yourself?
Thank you. Do I have any amendments to that proposal? In which case, then I'll go straight to the vote on the proposal. All those in favour, please show. Thank you. That's approved. Can we move to the next item on the agenda, item 3, 5 Cumberland Road, and ask the case officer when Councillor Forrest has moved down. Could I ask the case officer to begin his presentation on this application, please? Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. Good evening. This application... it's not on item 1, it's actually item 3 on page C1, but the reference number is P16-1053-2. It's an application for 5 Cumberland Road for the erection of 7 one-bedroom apartments with associated external works. The application site is outlined in red. The existing 5 Cumberland Road is part of the same ownership and is... but is proposed to be retained as part of the proposals. The aerial photograph, just to give it some context in the area, the St Paul's Church is here, this is Fearon Street, the application site is here, and this is obviously the recreation ground as you go down Cumberland Road. Members will have seen that on site today. This is the proposed ground floor plan and block plan, which again shows the two flats on the ground floor. There's three on the first floor and two again on the proposed second floor. Seven car parking spaces proposed. There is some conflicts with the car parking, but again, the Highways Authority, in considering both the type of properties and the location in relation to Loughborough Town Centre, have considered the level of car parking to be acceptable. In relation to the bin stores as well, we've also had a discussion with the streets, the bin collection teams and the street cleaning teams. The level, the space provided for the bins could be provided to give an appropriate level of bin storage for the level of development proposed. This application obviously has been in for a long time, so it's been through three amendments. Originally it was for nine flats, and has been reduced to seven, which has had consequential impacts in terms of reducing the size and scale of the proposals. Again, these are the first floor and second floor plans. Again, you can see here flats 3, 4, and 5, and again on the second floor, flats 6 and 7. Just to clarify, flats 1 and 2 have their own individual access points, with the upper floor flats being accessed through communal access points. You can see as well each flat has its own kitchen, bathroom and living accommodation within the proposals. Therefore, this is not an application for a house in multiple occupation. The elevations, as we've just discussed, one contemporary design wheel on the previous application. Again, it's another contemporary design. And again, we've had discussions on the merits of contemporary design in a conservation area. The proposals have been designed through consultation over the course of the year and a half that this application has been in. Originally, a more traditional approach was proposed. However, getting that to match in with the character of the Victorian villas that are next door and the general street scene proved problematic, and therefore, in consultation with our own conservation officers and urban design officers who are supportive of this proposal, this application has been amended and the proposals are now considered acceptable. Some of the detailing to kind of show again is a contemporary the finishes in terms of the decorative brickwork. The windows have zinc finishes and again a feature window in the corner, which is inspired by, not a replication of, the property at 135, which I'll show you a photograph now. So, as you can see, councillors, this is 5 Cumberland Road. It's currently in occupation as a house of multiple occupation itself. The side-facing windows, each one is replicated, in other words, is a secondary window to the primary window, which either faces front or, in the case of the rear window, faces to the rear. So, again, there's a good level of light that comes out of that can still be obtained. Whilst there is a drop curb here for access off-site for the existing car park, for the existing gardens of 5 Cumberland Road, there isn't. Getting a car in at the moment would be a particular struggle. So, again, the parking permit schemes, and I'll show you a photograph there of the permit sign, is the level of car parking lost is not considered to be significant and has been considered as part of the overall consideration. This is number 135. Again, you can see here the decorative turret, which also, as I say, is very attractive, and obviously the proposal takes inspiration but doesn't try to copy that kind of proposal. And again, this is looking down Cumberland Road, and again, you can see the recreation ground here. The next site photo, this is Fearon Street. You can see the wall here on which surrounds the application site. In the report at C11, about third paragraph down, we refer to it about circa 1.8 metres. It's probably closer to 2.5 on reflection, councillors. So I'll correct that again, but it is quite a dominant feature to the, particularly to the corner, and this would be reduced as part of the proposals to circa 600 mil. Again, that would give visibility improvements to the junction in particular. And again, the Highways Authority have considered it. Again, you can see the permits. This is looking back towards the application site. This, the bottom photo here, councillors, is if you look at the if you are looking at the application site, turn around. This is the view from the application site. So, working through the application for the report, which starts at around about page C10, councillors, we've obviously taken account of all the comments and received over the course of the three consultations that have been carried out over the course of the 18 months of the application. So the principle of the development, it's within the urban area. It's closely related to the town centre. It's in a sustainable location. We also obviously cover off the issue of the council's housing land supply within that consideration. The impact on the conservation area, again, that is covered off or considered extensively, again, through from C10 all the way through to C12 of your report. Again, we consider that the issue of the design is not one of whether or not it is a carbon copy, but in context, is it well designed? Does it follow many of the design features of soldier courses and those kind of things, and would it be a contribution of preserving or enhancing the conservation area? We come to the conclusion, as do conservation officers and urban design officers, that this proposal would. The impact on neighbouring properties, again, this has been considered, including the impact on 5 Cumberland Road itself, and again, we consider that the application would be acceptable and wouldn't have any detrimental impact in terms of neighbouring properties. The impact on the balance of the communities is an issue that is commonly raised in this area because of its relationship to the university. This application is not for a HIMO or housing multiple occupation. It's an application for 7 independent flats. We couldn't impose a condition restricting students not living in the accommodation. Again, if you have the ability to live in an independent flat, then that would be obviously a commercial decision. It wouldn't be something we could condition. If it was to become a house in multiple occupation, clearly that would require a separate planning application, and there would probably be also consequential changes in terms of the layout, internal layouts, and other aspects of the application. So we, again, do not consider a condition would be reasonable, necessary, or related to actually the application before us. In terms of the impacts on highway, as I've mentioned, it's very close to the town centre. There is off-street car parking proposed with turning and manoeuvring space. And the type of properties are all one-bedroom properties. The conclusion is that the impact of the proposal would not have an adverse impact on highway safety, and that is agreed with the Highway Authority. There are a number of self-seeded trees and other natural features within the garden. We don't think any of those contribute to the quality of the conservation area or the open space, and we feel that the level of garden space left for the for 5 Cumberland Road is appropriate, taking into account, again, the character of the area, where it is and what is elsewhere. For those reasons, councillors, our recommendation set out at C15 is that planning permission be granted and the proposals are in accordance with policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. We have 3 speakers on this item. And could I ask the first speaker to come up, Dr. Pullen. Begin when you're ready and I'll remind you when there's a minute left.
Hi, I'm Penny. I fell in love with the Victorian houses at the top end of Cumberland Road so much that I bought one in 2004. I live at number one, which is about 10 paces away from the site that we're considering. I was really pleased when I moved in to find out that the local community, so residents, planners and councillors, had worked really hard together to create the Ashby Road Conservation Area. This meant that all new buildings, not just those close to a listed building, would either preserve or enhance the appearance of the area. And it's worked quite well so far. The new houses around the corner on George Street are modern buildings, but they fit the street scene. They don't jar with the distinct grain and pattern of built forms and spaces, which is part of our area's historic development. Why can't we do something like that here? You might be able to imagine my reaction when I saw the current planning application, the pictures. Even with the best construction materials, would this building preserve or enhance the conservation area, working with the grain and pattern of the area? I say it wouldn't. Look at the view from Fearon Street, the northwest elevation. The rest of the street has neat Victorian terraced houses with large windows and sloping roofs. The proposed building has a flat roof, then a mansard roof, then another flat roof. The windows are much smaller than those on the terraced houses and are much lower down. In fact, the planner, Stephen Dukes, called the building a modern intrusive feature when he rejected the second version. We say it still is. Whatever materials are used or few fancy brickworks put in place. It seems to be an overdevelopment of the site, removing green space and creating a cramped and messy street scene. There could be 21 people living on this plot. That's five times higher than the average of the other houses in the row. Now, I'm not alone in feeling that this dramatic contemporary statement is not really appropriate. When the plans were shown at a SAG meeting, there was a gasp of horror around the room, surpassing any previous reactions to plans, and that's saying something. With, I think, 68 neighbours' letters, plus comments from residents' groups, councillors and our MP, I'm not alone. This would be a building on a prominent corner, visible from Ashby Road, from Loughborough Hospital, as well as both streets. By the way, the recent modern Abbeyfield building, which did get planning permission, looks much simpler. It's set in trees, and it doesn't dominate the street scene, as this one will. Please don't use it as a precedent. One group that hasn't been consulted by anybody are students. They're part of our community. And future student residents of the existing house are the ones who would suffer most harm as a result of this building. I spoke with students this week. They said, "Oh, it looks like a car park with a lift shaft in the corner." So much for the corner treatment reflecting the Victorian octagonal cupola. "Those smelly bins so close to the window, ugh," said another student. Another one said, "That would look fine as an office block, but it really doesn't fit with the other houses." A student noticed that his current garden view would be replaced by a brick wall, two stories high, around 1.5 metres from his window. Bricks would be depressing to look out on. The lack of natural light really is awful when you're studying. It makes you tired, they said. The students also said that they can park four cars at a push in the garden of number five currently, and they value this and use it. All those parking spaces would be lost. We suggest that the proposed development would be contrary to Section 72 of the Planning, Listing Buildings and Conservation Areas Act 1990, the National Planning Policy Framework, Section 7, paragraphs 56, 58, 63, 64, and policies EV1 and CS2. So, councillors, it's down to you now. Will you be courageous, as many of you have been before? Will you reject an unsightly building which is unpopular with permanent residents and students alike? Will you choose not to disrupt the distinct grain and pattern of our precious conservation area? It's up to you now. We implore you to do what is right, not what is easy, and to reject this application for something better. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker is, in fact, two speakers, Mr. Hardy and Mr. Philpott. I don't know how you plan to share your time, but would you please join us?
I'll speak first. Andy Philpott, I'm the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Philpott. How long do you intend to speak for, do you know?
About a minute.
Okay. So start when you're ready.
Is that better? Sorry. The plans that we are putting forward today for your consideration are the result of a 5-year period of meticulous consultation and revision. At every stage, we have followed the advice of Charnwood Borough Planning, the Conservation Departments, also County Highways Department, and we've amended the proposals accordingly. We have also assured ourselves that the visual approach is one that has been adopted by many other local authorities in their conservation areas. The consequence of this process of revision and improvement has been to ensure that the building will be of the highest quality and an attractive and impressive addition to the locality, as well as offering highly sought-after apartments that will greatly appeal to young professionals, postgraduates, and visiting lecturers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Philpott. You have, Mr. Hardy, you have the balance of the 5 minutes available to you.
Thank you very much. I'm Andrew Hardy of ANG Architects, with the architects for the scheme. And having recently received a highly commended Charnwood Borough Design Award, we're pleased that the council are generally supportive of innovative design. And I speak in support of the application. No surprise there. The original application was submitted for 9 units. The submission followed formal pre-application advice by the officers. However, the scheme was ultimately written up for refusal. On the 12th of May last year, the council approved a very contemporary design for the extension of Ingleside, which is the Abbeyfield House on Ashby Road, a few yards away from this site, within the same conservation area. The design approach here was unopposed at the public consultation phase. Following my client's intervention and encouraged by the Abbeyfield scheme, we started to develop the current design based on 7 units. We're very much encouraged by your officer's support for the contemporary design and have worked in close consultation with your planning officer and importantly, your conservation officer, Mark Fennell. Mark Fennell's reaction was, this is exactly the sort of scheme we want to encourage to be brought forward within the borough. Now, design within a conservation area requires a higher level of ambition and drive, and I'm pleased your officers have recognised this. Some of our best examples of contemporary architecture are those that sit cheek by jowl within a historic context. You only have to look at some of our great towns and cities to see the juxtaposition of the old and the new and the dynamic this creates. Such approaches are not easy or indeed quick solutions. They take ambition on behalf of the client, the developer and the designers and indeed the planning and conservation officers and indeed the members. Working collaboratively with the agencies is what we have done here. The contemporary design approach does not seek to replicate historic styles or forms, but by careful selection of materials and details taken from within the conservation area, the scheme is carefully crafted and orchestrated to echo the rhythm and scale of the surrounding Victorian streets. Eaves levels line through with those of Fearn Street and Cumberland Road. Victorian brick detailing is interspaced with plain modern brickwork, and subtle changes in brick texture will add to the richness of the appearance of the whole composition, further reflecting its historic context. The use of the traditional standing seam metal-clad roof echoes similar dormer treatments, also for those found within the conservation area and those approved on the Abbeyfield scheme. There is still further to go with the detailed design of this scheme, as the choice of materials and components really influence the actual appearance of the end product. Your officers will be in control of that by the imposition of conditions. Committee members, you've demonstrated your commitment to contemporary design within the conservation area, and as we've seen by the approval of the Abbeyfield scheme. The same approach is adopted here.
1 minute left.
Okay. Your officers have carefully considered the application and are content with its compliance with local and national planning policy and are content with the highways issues raised. As has been pointed out to you, there is currently a lack of five-year land supply, and the NPPF advises that planning permission should be granted unless any adverse impacts of doing so would significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits. Your officers are content with the acceptability of this scheme after due diligence. It will contribute towards the five-year land supply and will indeed provide good quality living accommodation in a sustainable and established residential location. Thank you.
And Mr. Philpott, could I ask the ward councillor, Councillor Forrest, to join us, please? Begin when you're ready, Councillor Forrest.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, fellow councillors, thank you for allowing me to speak to you this evening. I have called this application in for a number of reasons which I would like to put before you. I would first of all contend that this development is out of keeping with the conservation area. It pays no attention to the surrounding vernacular architecture, which is very attractive Victorian terracing, some elegant Edwardian villas, and some modern terracing, and some very nice alterations to buildings, particularly the transformation of Rosebery Street School into Rosebery Medical Centre, an absolutely beautiful conversion of a Victorian building. And this has all been done with great sensitivity. I would also like to draw your attention to the fact that this barrack block will detract greatly from the listed building, the Grade 2 listed building, St Peter's Church at the other end of Fearon Street. This building will have a detrimental impact on Fearon Street. I'd also like to draw your attention to the question of parking. Now, there are 7 flats in this building, and there is car parking for 7 cars on this site, in theory. I do not believe that you would park 7 cars on this site. I think the turning area is far too tight. And what happens if there are couples in these flats and those couples each have a car? Where will they park them? They'll park them on Fearon Street or on Cumberland Street or Storer Road or George Street, where parking is already at a premium and indeed the whole area is subject to residence preference parking. There is no room for extra parking in this area. The other sensitive matter I would like to draw your attention is the bins. Now, I can only count places for 9 bins on this site, and although one officer said I shouldn't get hung up about the bins, I do, because where are the surplus bins going to go? You know as well as I do, councillors, they will go on the street. Unless, of course, the developer or the councillor is going to bring in a bin-sharing scheme. Well, good luck with that, because that will add to neighbourliness no end. It's not on. we need 14 places for bins, 7 for black bins, 7 for green. We all know this. Why try and delude us that anything else is going to work? I also think that the idea of these
One
flats...
1 minute, Councillor Forrest.
Thank you. It's very cramped. It's an open plan area. The kitchen, the dining area, the sitting area is all in the same room. And I think in some of the flats, although the bedrooms are called en suite, the only bathrooms are attached to the bedroom, the one bedroom. So if you're going to visit anyone in these flats and you need to avail yourself of the facilities, well, let's hope that they kept the bedroom tidy, because you're going to have to walk through the bedroom in order to get to the bathroom. I recently had the pleasure of attending the Charnwood Design Awards, and we gave awards to some magnificent buildings, modern as well as older conversions. And after having looking at those, I will have to say Charnwood deserves much better than this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, we have over to you, councillors. I saw Councillor Campbell first.
Thank you. Well, I'd just like to mirror and everything that Councillor Forrest has said. But in only 10 years, sorry. Absolutely spot on. You know, I've never seen such a... It'll be a nice story. It's a nice building, but in the wrong place. Not on a nice road like that. I mean, that present building, number 5 Cumberland, has a beautiful gable with a Flemish bond, with cream headers. Once that building's built, it'll hide all that. You know, we'll lose that. I mean, flat roofs, I mean, that's a 60s thing. You know, we see those dotted around, we think, oh, ugly. And that's what that'll be. So I can't vote for this, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Councillor Fryer?
Well, I disagree, I'm afraid, and I would like to propose acceptance of officers' recommendation, mainly because we are not, as was previously said in the previous application, we are not here to conserve what we've got. When these buildings were built originally, they were probably state-of-the-art, and people complained about them. Now we are looking to the future. This is a one-bedroomed flat. It is, as has been explained on the diagram of the layout, it is open plan. I would have thought this would have been ideal for young professionals, postgraduates, and people that are just leaving home for the first time. We pride ourselves in this town that we are encouraging people to come, A, to our universities, for extra work, for science parks, for campus. We've got people that come here Monday to Friday and then go home for the weekend. This would be ideal for people like that. I have, not here, so there's no conflict, I have a 22-year-old grandson who's working in London who would give his eye teeth to be able to live in something like that. So... I think it has been explained by the officers, I seem to remember about the bins, that there is capacity and there is to be able to site them and probably do as well as possible for 14, 7 of each type for each flat. And I'm not quite sure, and I do respect Councillor Forrest highly for her views, and she's an excellent councillor. I'm not quite sure why it would be detrimental to the church and the listing of the church. I don't quite follow that. Are we saying that we can't have modern buildings where there are churches of repute or something? I'm not quite sure, because I may have got it wrong, but she did mention the fact that it would be detrimental to the church at the other end of the street. If they can't park on the parking places allowed, and it is residential preference parking, they'd have to apply. If they don't get a parking permit, then they don't bring a car. My grandson, and I harp back to him, if he was living there, he wouldn't have a car. because why would he need it in the centre of town? So I'd propose acceptance of officers. Proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Fryer. I've got Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I think I've spoke earlier that I love the contemporary style with the older buildings, but this I hate. I don't like it at all. I don't know whether it's the way the architect has displayed the windows or the brick, but that does nothing for me, and I'm astounded that that's been to-ing and fro-ing between architect and officers for, 18 months. It's borrowed nothing from the street scene. I would have liked to have seen at least the concrete sills followed through. I love the idea of the zinc and using the contemporary materials such as that. But a flat roof, why? Because it's easier, it's cheaper. It's completely, completely incongruous to the rest of the street scene. Modern buildings, with it, yeah. I've got no argument with that. But this is just, I don't like it, and I will not be supporting officers' recommendations.
Councillor Bentley, do you want to speak?
I was going to propose it. Hilary's already done that. Yeah, I understand what Brenda said, but I think on balance, in this location, I've been looking at an aerial view of this site on Google Earth, and it's just a derelict corner. And what's been proposed here and for the benefits it's going to bring to that corner of Loughborough, I think it's a great thing. And I'm happy to go along with officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Harris.
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Microphone, please.
Sorry. Yes. I looked at this and I was looking at the previous application. We were looking before at a conservation area, and this is a conservation area as well. I was brought up in this area. I also was a councillor for this area for 8 years, so I know it very well. So looking at the conservation and trying to be able to get some sort of fix on that, and we don't want to keep everything in aspic, certainly. Design moves on. I have got a real problem with the design of this building on the corner. I was casting my brain around to try to think about other buildings that were similar in that area that might bounce off each other against the old buildings and this new build. I certainly support what Councillor Seaton said about we don't want to have roofs that are all the same and everything else, and we want different design and things to look different. I think this has just gone a little bit too far in this modern design, and I've got something one other issue that I think that is very important as well. I'm a councillor for another part of Loughborough, and there have been one or two buildings that they're changing, a pub, two pubs, and another small area that they're going to have flats. And I have been assured, and I'm going to see the officers about this because I'm getting very worried about this. The fact is that we aren't being supplied with parking. And this is down Nottingham Road, for and there is very little parking for anybody. And that we've got all of these flats now emerging without parking. And I don't think we should be going down that route. We're told that, oh, yes, well, people can walk into town. Fine. Yes, but people do still need cars. And this is for seven flats. That could be, as we say, it could be 14 cars in my maths. So I am going down the route of not supporting this for those very reasons. And some of the design I can't go along with. And the parking is a very, very practical, internal, small town problem. And I don't think, and I'm losing the battle to the will to live with the Leicestershire highways. I'm trying to look at their comment here about parking. I can't find it. But they don't have any problems with the parking. But I as councillor, am having problems in my patch where there's no parking at all. And with 17, seven apartments, then I don't think I can go along with it